The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun. Today's daf is being studied. The Anu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihanu Began Aiden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashleman Miki Ben Jamie. Enda Refanado. Refuat Nefesh Refuat Guf. Refuat Oker Bala Bovichin Yerasum Ramar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Tet Amud Bet. We start a new perek, perek Revi'i, called Rabbi Ishmael. We're at the Mishnah. Rabbi Ishmael Omer Shalosh Abanim Zu, Besad Markulis Asurot, Ushtayim Mutarot. There is an Avodah Zarah that the Goyim used to worship, and it's called Markulis. Some say that Markulis is actually a nickname for the actual idol called Markudi or Markuri. That was like the head of the Avodah Zarah. And was a person, this Markudi. He was in charge of commerce and business. That was the Avodah Zarah for that. It says, Pesel Zaya Asui Betsurat Adam, it was the image of a person, Hamoshit Et Yado, with his hand stretched out. And they would put it on the roads where people, the wayfarers, would go back and forth for business. Kemochen, I'm reading, Matsuya Yashia Asu Al Yadah Nachat Shte Avanim Zu Besad Zu, Ke'en Yadayim. They would place two stones next to each other, like hands. Ve'evin nosefet al gabehen ke'en rosh, and then a third stone on top of them like a head. So that's the Avodah Zarah that we're talking about today, called Markulis. It's two stones that are placed next to each other and a third one on top. So Rabbi Ishmael said, Shalosh Avanim Zu Besad Zu. Let's say you have three stones all next to each other, Besad Markulis, next to a large Markulis. Now, how do you serve the Markulis? The way they served it was they would throw stones at it. So now you have a big Markulis, and next to it you have three stones next to each other. So he says, if it's three stones, asur bahana, ushtayim mutarot, but three is okay. So now we'll explain exactly in the Gemara why two is okay and why three is a problem. Bachamim omriim. If you give a simple rule, shenirot imo asurot, v'she'enirot imo mutarot. The rocks that are close to Markulis, they're asur. Doesn't matter how many. The rocks that are far from Markulis, that are not samuch, they are going to be mutar. Now the Gemara begins. Bishlama rabbanan kasabre. Ovdim l'shvarim. Oh, so the rabbis hold, first of all, that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so they serve also the shvarim, the broken parts of the Avodah Zarah. Which means, so long as the Avodah Zarah, the main one, is kayam, is existent, so if a piece of the main Avodah Zarah falls off, the rabbis hold that they worship those pieces as well. So therefore, Nirot imo, if it's close to the original Markulis, the ikalimar mine nafal asurot. So you could assume that it fell. This rock that you see next to the Markulis must have fell from the original Markulis. So if it's asurot, she'en nirot imo mutarot. And if it's far away from the Markulis, you could assume that what? It didn't fall from the Markulis, and therefore you have no problem. Then what's mutarot? Ela Rabbi Ishmael, my kasabat. But according to Rabbi Ishmael, what does he hold? Ovdin Nishvarin, if he holds that they worship the pieces that fall off, so those rocks that they find on the floor, afilu tante namilitzar, so even two should be forbidden. En ovdin Nishvarin, and if they don't worship the Shvarim, afilu tlat namelo, even three no. Which means, Rabbi Ishmael said, it's next, you found stones next to the Markulis. What's the nafku? How can you make a difference between two and three? Which means in manavshah, if those stones, which we're assuming came from the Markulis, because it's close to Markulis, The Mishnah's language was Shadosh Avanim Zubisadzu Bitsad Malkunis. It's next to the Malkunis. So what's the difference between 2 and 3? If they worship the Shevarim, even 2 should be Asur. If they don't worship the Shevarim, so even 3 should be Mutar. Amar Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef Amar Rav Yohanan. So he tries to explain the Mahloket. He says like this. Biyadua Shenashru Mimenu Devrei Akol Asurot. If you know for a fact that the rocks fell from the original Malkunis, I don't care how many rocks, I don't care where the rocks are, everybody's going to say that those rocks are asur ba'na'a, v'afidu leman damar en ovdim neshvarim. And even according to the opinion that says that the ovdei avodah zarah don't worship broken parts of the avodah zarah, hani mili avodah kochem zilavainu urche, that's only an avodah zarah, that's not the normal way for it to fall apart. Balacha, demeikara tabore metabere, hainu urche, he'll be here. Initially, that's what they do. It breaks. It's standing to break. The rocks, the way they serve it is a pile of rocks, and they throw rocks in it, and other rocks fall. That's the way you serve it. So then, even according to the opinion that says the Avodah Zarah, when the Avodah Zarah breaks, they don't serve the parts, will agree in this case over here, that's the way they serve it, they worship it. So again, over here, if you know for a fact that the rocks on the floor came from Malkulis, I don't care how many rocks, I don't care how close, how far, it's going to be Asur. Now keep it legal. The argument is going to be Bistama. Where it's Stam. You don't know if they fell from Malkulis or not. Bimkuravot name. Now, if the stones are close to the Malkulis, then she explains what is close, like Amma or Hatsi Amma. Let's say within an Amma, within 2 feet of the Malkulis. Then already it's fair to assume that it fell from the Malkulis. That's also a case. Everybody knows it's Asurot. So where's the Mahloket? The Mahloket is Bimruhakot, where you have rocks that are far from the Malkulis. What is far from the Malkulis? As she says, within 4 amot. So it's more than a ma away, but it's still within 4 amot. That's considered far away. So that's what a Mahloket is. Which means, when it's far away from the Malkulis, it's clear that it didn't fall from the original Malkulis. So we have to see what the Mahloket is. So again, if you know for sure it fell from Malkulis, I don't care where the rocks are, I don't care how many rocks are, Asur. If it's within a close proximity of the Malkulis, even Bistama, you don't know if it fell from it or not, you can assume it fell from it. If it's Menuchakin, if it's within 4 amot, so then they already have a machloket. How could you tell me that the Bishmael and the rabbis are arguing when the rocks are far away from Markulis? The Mishnah said, Bitsad Markulis. So the Gemara says, my Bitsad, Bitsad Arba Amot Dide. Tzad doesn't mean next to the Markulis Mamash. It means within 4 amot. Anything within 4 amot is considered like close. So therefore it means Bitsad Arba Amot Dide. Now, what's the logic of the machloket? So, Rabbi Yishmael Savar, Osin Markulis Katan Besad Markulis Gadot, Shalosh, Tedam Jal de Markulis Asurot, Shtayim Mutarot, Rabbanan Savre, En Osin Markulis Katan Besad Markulis Gadol, Lashena Shalosh, Lashena Shtayim, Nirot Emo Asurot, En Nirot Emo Mutarot. So the machloket is like this. Do the Ovdei Avodah Zarah make a smaller Malkulis next to the bigger one? Which means, you found 3 rocks within 4 amot of the larger Malkulis. So the Bishmaran says, even though you don't have to assume that it fell from the Malkulis because it's within 4 amot, it's a little further away, but you could assume that they built another Malkulis. They built a smaller Malkulis next to the bigger one. And therefore it's also Avodah Zarah. But if you found 2 rocks, 2 rocks didn't fall from the Malkulis, the original one, and it's not a Malkulis itself, but it's only 2 rocks, so therefore it's Mutarot. And the rabbis say, no, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do not build a smaller Malkulis next to the bigger one. Therefore, even if you found 3 rocks within 4 amot, you could assume that it's Mutar, it's not connected to the Malkulis. Only if it's Nerot Emor, only when it's close, then you have to be concerned, but if it's far, you don't have to be concerned. That's already the Mahloket. Amar Mor. So we had a statement. Rabbi Yohanan said, "Biyadua Shenashru memenu devrei akol asurot. So the first part of the statement was, if you know for a fact that it fell from Markulis, the rocks, I don't care how far, how close, how many rocks, for sure it's going to be asurot. Urmini, we have a contradiction. Abanim shenashnu min ha-Markulis. Stones that fell from the Markulis. So again, we know it fell from the Markulis. Abanim shenashnu min ha-Markulis. It fell from the Markulis. Nirot oimo asurot. If it's close, nirot oimo means it's close, asur. And nirot oimo mutarot. Far is mutar. V'Rabbi Yishmael omer shalosh asurot u'shtay mutarot. And Rabbi Yishmael makes a haluk between 3 and 2. So what are you talking? It clearly says it fell. If it clearly fell from the Markulis, I don't care how far, I don't care how many rocks. Amar Rava, lo tema shenashru, ela ema shenimseu. Don't read that statement that the rocks fell from Markulis. Ela, read it that they were found next to the Markulis. So that case is where it's bistama, you don't know. So again, back to you don't know, so then it's the same malokit. If you don't know, then the rule is going to be, if it's close, within an amma, everybody's going to say asur, because I don't care how many rocks, you assume it fell from the Markulis, and it was part of the Avodah Zarah. And if it's further, then you have a machloket. If it's 2, everybody's going to say mutar, and the machloket is going to be 3. So the machloket, basically, you want to pinpoint the case of the machloket, is if you found 3 rocks within 4 amot of the Markulis, and you don't know if it fell from the Markulis. Rabbi Yishmael will say 3 rocks, they probably built a smaller Markulis, and therefore it's asur. Rabbanan will say, no, you don't know if it fell from the Markulis, and it's 4 amot, within 4 amot away, it's far enough, and therefore you can assume that it's mutar. So the Gemara says, Vesavar, Rabbi Yishmael, Shtayim mutarot. Does Rabbi Yishmael hold that indeed 2 rocks that were found within 4 amot are mutar? That Tanya, Rabbi Yishmael omer, Shtayim, if you found 2 rocks, bitfisa no asurot. Bitfisa is within the proximity of. So the Gemara asks, Mesavar Rabbi Yishmael, Shtayim mutarot? Again. The Gemara says, you just told me, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that if you find 2 rocks within 4 amot, it's mutar. Is that so? That Tanya we have a blaita. Rabbi Yishmael omer, shtayim bitfisa lo. If you find 2 rocks bitfisa, bitfisa means in the proximity of the Markulis, asurot. Veshalosh afilu beruchakot asurot. And 3 rocks, even if they're further than the tefisa, they're going to be asur. Now, stam tefisa is within 4 amot. So again, what's being said is here, if you found 2 rocks within 4 amot, it's asurot. But till now, the way we understand the mahlokin, that 2 rocks within 4 amot is mutarot, so make up your mind. So now the Gemara gives a new, revised understanding of the mahlokin. Amar Rava lakasha. Kan betfisa ahat, kan b'shte tefisot. So Rava says like this. The Braita that said, if you found 2 rods within 4 amot, that's asurot, according to Bishmael, that's betfisahat, which means that there's no hefsek. The Markulis is there, the big one, and then within 4 amot you find 2 rocks, that's considered nir'ot emo. New interpretation. Nir'ot emo is not within an amma. Nir'ot emo, close means 4 amot. And therefore, according to everybody, if you found rocks within 4 amot, everybody's going to say it's us. We're revising now. Which we before we learned that the machloket was rocks within 4 amot. Now we're saying no, 4 amot is considered close. And therefore, mistama, if you found rocks within 4 amot, they're going to be us. Whether you found 3 rocks, whether you found 2 rocks, according to everybody's going to be us. Can, but our Mishnah, what is it talking about? It's talking about where you have a hefsek between the Markulis and the rocks that you found. Which means, even though it's within 4 amot, but if there's something blocking from the Markulis to the rocks that you have, so now already, that's where you're going to have the machloket. Meaning, if you have something blocking, so then for sure it didn't fall from the Malkudis, because something is blocking from the Malkudis to the rocks that you have. So the Mishnah says, if you found three rocks, they probably built a smaller Malkudis next to the bigger one. Asur, two rocks, no. And the Hakamim say it doesn't matter, three doesn't matter, two, they don't build a smaller Malkudis next to the bigger one. Therefore, if it's within four amot, but there's something blocking, according to Hakamim, mutar. Vechidameh. Give me a case. We have something blocking, which is called shtei tefisot, something blocking between the bigger malkulis to the rocks that you have on the floor. You have, let's say, a pile of rocks in between. You have a pile of dirt, let's say. So therefore, there's something separating between the bigger malkulis and the rocks that you have over there. So that indeed is the machloket. So now again, comes out the final machloket is, if you know it fell from the malkulis, there's no machloket. The rocks, I don't care where you found them, I don't care how much you found. Asuro. If you found the rocks within four amot, everybody's going to hold it is indeed asur. Because four amot is considered the otimo. The machlok is going to be if you found them within four amot, but there's something separating between the original Malkulis and these rocks. They have a machloket. The Rebbe Yishmael says three is asur, two is mutar, because Mustama they built a new one. And like I can say they don't build the smaller one next to the bigger one. Therefore, even three is mutar. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Umar kulis ki agavna miyaveh. Which means, we learned in the Mishnah, you put three rocks next to each other, it's markulis. That was what Bishmael said. They put the smaller markulis next to the bigger one. We said, three stones, zu besad zu. So the Gemara says, is that a markulis? Because normally the position is two stones next to each other and a third one on top. This is the stones of Bet Kudis. One rock next to another rock, and a third rock on top. Now you're telling me it's three rocks next to each other? The main Markudis is two rocks, and then one on top. But the minor Markudis they build next to it can even be three rocks next to each other. Be'yanai Malka Haruf. The house of Yanai, the king, was destroyed. Atu of the Kochavim, Okim be Markulis. So now of the Avodah Zarah came and they established a Markulis. Avodah Zarah in that place, and they threw rocks at it, like they serve it. Atu of the Kochavim Aharini, other of the Kochavim came, De la Palchel Markulis, that they don't serve the Markulis. Shaklinu, so they took the stones, Vechipu Baim Derechim Ustartaot. And they made from the rocks streets, which means they paved the streets, they made the streets out of the rocks. So now the shayla was, can you walk on the street? Because it was Avodah Zarah. So Ikar Rabbanan de Parshe, there were certain hakamim, they would not walk on those roads, because they held that those rocks are still Asur Bana'ah. We'll see why. Ikar Rabbanan de lo Parshe, the other rabbis, no, they didn't refrain from walking on the roads. Because they held that when the Goyim took these rocks and made them as the roads, they would be batel Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Benam Shel Kedoshim, the son of the holy ones. We'll see who that is. Me'alech Alehen. He walked on them. There was a certain rabbi, they referred to him as Benam Shel Kedoshim, the son of the holy ones. If he walked on them, the Anan Nefroshmen, we should be more Mahmid than Benam Shel Kedoshim, than the son of the holy one. Man Nihu, who's the son of the Holy One, Benam Shel Kedoshim? Rabbi Menachem ben Rabbi Simai. V'amai karu le Benam Shel Kedoshim. Why did they call him Benam Shel Kedoshim, the son of Kedoshim? De'afinu b'tzuta de'zuzah lo mistakin. He was so machmir, he wouldn't even look at the image on a coin. Or the image, the image on a coin. Now, what's the problem of looking at an image on a coin? So, here it's mashwa that it's a chumrah. But some say that actually that image on the coin was Avodah Zarah. And therefore, minadin you're not allowed to look at the image on the coin. Because it says in the Pasuk, Al tefnu ila elilim. So he says that that's only talking about where the image was made for Avodah Zarah. But these images that were made on the coins, they were stamp images out of for decorative purposes. And still, he was so ma'amin not even to look at an image that was minted on a coin. But still, and they called him Benam Shel Kedoshim, the son of the holy ones. He himself was Kadosh, but they're giving the credit to his parents. Because they say that his father was Kadosh as well. So then it says Binam Shel Kedoshim. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if the Binam Shel Kedoshim, Rabbi Menachem walked on the road, I should be more Mahmir. Now my Ta'amah demanded Farish, what's the reason why the rabbis who did not walk on the road? Sabadla Kiha the Amar of Gidal, Amar of Hiya, Bar Yosef Amara. Minayim le tekrobet avodat kochavim she'ena betila olamit. How do we know that something that was used as a korban to the avodah zarah, you cannot mevatel it? Which means you can mevatel the avodah zarah, but a korban that was brought to the avodah zarah, or a gift that was brought to the avodah zarah, cannot be batel. How do we know shne'emar? Vayitzamedu lebaal peor. And the people got drawn after the Baal Peor, which is Avodah Zarah, Vayochilu Zivchem Metim. And they ate the Korbanot that they brought to Baal Peor, and it refers to it as the Kark, the Zivchem Metim, the sacrifice of the dead ones. Ma'amet Elo Betin Ali Olam, just like a dead person, you cannot be Vatel the Tum'ah of a dead person, a dead person has Tum'ah, it's there forever. After Krovet Avodah Kuchavim, Ena Betin Ali Olam. So too, the Avodah Zarah, the Korban that they bring to the Avodah Zarah, there's no Betul on it. That's not Gidas Hadush. So therefore, just like by the Baal Peor, it refers to the Korban that they brought to it as a Chaim Metim, so to these rocks. These rocks, they threw to the Malkulis. So the rocks that they threw to the Malkulis is considered Tekrovet Avodah Zarah. Again, a person who throws a rock to the Malkulis, that's the way they serve it. And therefore, that rock that they threw is considered Tekrovet Avodah Zarah. Therefore, when they pave the roads with it, it's Avodah Zarah still. You cannot make bitu. Uman de lo parish amar, the opinion that said no, it's okay that they walked on the roads. Ba'ina ke'en panim veleka. Oh, it's a very important yisub. Which means, in order for something to be considered a takrobit for avodah zarah, it's gotta be a type of korban that they bring in the Beit HaMikdash. Which means, if it's brought pinim in the Beit HaMikdash, and then goyim do that same service outside to their avodah zarah, then we say, it becomes asur. That's considered takrovet avodat kuchavim. But if they do a service that we have no comparison to it in the Beit HaMikdash, it's not considered takrovet avodat zara. That she says, k'ayin panim at the bottom. Zivachim shu b'mikdash shu nami takrovet. K'dichtiv zoveach l'aluim yachoram. Bilti la'ashem lebado. Alma dome k'lifnim kari zivach. Which means, zoveach l'aluim yachoram. If somebody brings a zivach to somebody else besides God, it is asur. But it's got to be a zemah, something that normally we would bring to God, and you're bringing that same item to Avodah Zarah. Rocks, we don't bring rocks in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore the rocks, bichlal, were not considered a tekrobit, even though they threw it towards the Markun, it doesn't matter, it's not penim, and if the rocks never became asur, and therefore no problem to use them as a roads. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Eklar Abba bar Yirmiyah Le'atrim. One time, Rav Avraham Yirmiyah was in our place, and he brought a braita in his hand. And what did the braita say? Oved kuchavim shevi abanim in amarkulis. V'chipa behem derachim ustratyaot. The goy brought the rocks from the markulis, and he paved the roads with it. Mutarot. It is mutarot. You can walk on the road. Yisrael shevi abanim in amarkulis. But if a Jew brought stones from the Barkudis, Asurot is going to be Asur Bana. Now I understand this case because Israel that brings the stones, you cannot be Vatel it. Israel cannot be Vatel in Avodah Zarah. So therefore I understand that it's not Bitul by the Israel. But if the Goy brings it, he's saying what? That the stones are Mutar if he paved the roads with them. So it says that Rabbah Bar Yirmiyah, when he heard this statement, which was when Rabbi Yirmiyah brought this braita, he concluded and said, "Velet nagar, vela bar nagar, diyfarkina." There's not a hacham or a son of a hacham that can understand this braita. For some reason, there was some question that they had with he had with his braita. Rabbi, he brought a braita with him. He says, "But you know what? Nobody could crack it. Not a hacham, not a son of a hacham. We don't know what the braita what it means." So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Sheshat, ana la nagar ana vela bar nagar ana." Uvarik nale, he says, "I'm not a hakam, I'm the son of a hakam." But I can explain the braita. My kushale, what was the question that Rabbah, who brought the braita, had with it? Did Rav Gidal? His problem was Rav Gidal, because Rav Gidal taught us that the Tekromet Avodat Kochim, there's no bitul. You can't mevatel a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah. It's called Zivchim Metim. And just like you cannot nullify a mitzvah, you cannot nullify the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, when the goy took the stones and paved the streets, why should it be mutar? There's no bitul on such a tekrovet. That was the question about it. That's why he said, you know what? And nobody could crack this braita. But Rav Sheshad says, I'll tell you the answer. Ba'ina ke'en panim veleka. The reason is, like we learned in the Gemara above, that the only time something is considered a tekrovet avodah zarah is when it's ke'en panim, when it's like a sacrifice that was brought in the Beit HaMikdash. Veleka. And this does not so, because there was also sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash as stones. And therefore, there's no problem. Therefore, the goy that takes the stones, there's not a problem bichlal to put it on the pavement. Because since they did not use stones in the Beit HaMikdash, so a service to Avodah Zarah in such a way is not going to be osir it. However, before they were mevatel it, it's considered Avodah Zarah itself, because it was part of the Avodah Zarah. But once they mevatel it, it is okay. So therefore, that was his answer. Which means, even though the rocks is not considered takrovet, but before they mevatel the rocks, asurut banah, because when the guy threw the rock, his kavanah was that it becomes part of Markudis, part of the original Avodah Zarah. So therefore, in itself, is not considered a takrovet Avodah Zarah, which is when they threw it, it became part of the Markudis. Right? That's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah has bitul. But it's not considered a takrovit for Avodah Zarah. It's not considered a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, because it's not penim. So therefore, so long as the goy takes the rock and puts it in the ground as a pavement, so it's pavement. He's mevatelit. He's mevateling Avodah Zarah. But a Jew cannot be mevatel Avodah Zarah. So when a Jew throws the rock to Markudis, now that rock becomes part of the Avodah Zarah. Now the Jew takes it and puts it as pavement. The Jew cannot mevatel Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the pavement becomes asur. Mashegin a goy, he threw it to the Markudis. Very nice. Now it becomes part of the Markudis. It's Avodah Zarah. No problem. Take the rock now, put it as pavement. That's bitul. And don't tell me that rock is called takrovet Avodah Zarah. It's not considered a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah. Because to be considered a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, it's got to be a sacrifice that's done in the Beit HaMikdash. And this clearly was not done in the Beit HaMikdash. This service was not done. So therefore, Rava came along and brought a braita. He said, "But I don't understand this braita." So Rav Sheshad came along and said, "I'll tell you what Rava's question was, and I'll tell you the answer." His question was that why should it be mutar the road? We learned Rav Gidal that a taklovet avodah zarah does not have bitul at all. You can't even tell takrovet. And the answer is, this is not considered takrovet. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba. Another story. Ekla Rabba bar Yirmiya Latrin. Says Rabba bar Yirmiya came to our place. And he brought a braita with him. The braita is as following. Matli'in umizahamin b'shivyait. Ve'en matli'in umizahamin b'mu'ed. We're learning now the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Chol HaMoed. This is referring to trees. Sometimes the trees have worms in them. So they take out the worms. That's called matli'in. They have a certain procedure that they take the worms out of the tree. So it says, matli'in, you can take out the worms. Umizahamin. Sometimes you have, let's say, a tree that has a makah on the tree, a blemish, and it starts to shed. So what they do is, they take a zebid, they take fertilizer, and they tie it, and they attach it to the tree in that spot in order that the tree does not die. Okay, so that's what mizahamin is. They attach zebil to the tree so it doesn't die. So it says, matli'inu mizahamin b'shivi'in. You can do that during the Shemitah year. No problem. Ve'en matli'inu mizahamin b'mored. But you're not allowed to do that during Chol HaMoed. Now, avodat karka, we know, is asur on Shemitah. You're not allowed to work the ground on Shemitah. Nor are you allowed to work the ground on Chol HaMoed. But over here, we're making a chiluk. We're saying, matli'inu mizahamin, you can do these two procedures on the tree during Shemitah, but you cannot do these two procedures on Chol HaMoed. Kan ve'kan, whether it's Shivi'it or Chol HaMoed, and megazemin. You're not allowed to cut the branches of the tree so they can grow more. That's called gizum. Besachin shemen the gizum. Ben b'moed ben b'shevid. In the place that you cut the branches, the custom was they used to take oil and they used to rub it against the branches in that spot over there. So it says, Vesachin shemen de gizum. You're allowed to put the oil on the spot where you're cutting. Ben b'moed ben b'shevid, because you don't want the tree to die. Okay, that's called Vesachin shemen de gizum. Oh, ben b'moed ben b'shevid. You can do that whether it's on moed, whether it's on shevid, so the tree does not die. So now comes the Gemara. Velet nagar velo nagar bar nagar diflekina. So after Rava brought this braita, he says, but you know what? Nobody could crack it. Not a hakam, not the son of a hakam. What's the problem? So Amar Ravina, ana lo nagar ana velo bar nagar ana. I'm not a nagar, not the son of a nagar, but I'll explain it to you. My kakashile, what was Rava's question with the braita? Which is maybe his question was, what's the difference between Mu'ed and Shevi'it, which is why certain things are asud on Chola Mu'ed and the same things are mutar on Shevi'it. Why is it permissible on Shevi'it, for example, to take out the worms out of the tree and to put the fertilizer against the tree, and that's forbidden on Chola Mu'ed, which is both, you can't do work on either of them. So that was his question. I can't understand this braita. So he says, why? Why is it a problem? Shevi'it melacha asar rahmana. Tercha share. On the Shemitah, you can't do melacha, melechet karka. But tercha, toiling is permissible. And therefore, taking out the worms and putting the fertilizer against the tree, it's not considered a melacha and the karka, because it's not enhancing the tree, it's just protecting the tree so it doesn't die. That's why it's permissible. However, mu'ed afilu tercha na me'asur. But on Chola Mu'ed, not only can't you work the ground, but you're not allowed to do any tercha, any work. So that's why it's an easy answer. So the Gemara says, that couldn't have been his question, because it's too pashut. Of course there's a difference between the mechanics, between Chola Mu'ed and the Shemitah. Shemitah, it's asur, avodat, karka. Putting these things on the tree, taking the worms out of the tree, like it's avodat, karka. But Chola Mu'ed, the isur is tercha. His question is like this. Why did you tell me that during Shemitah you're allowed to put the fertilizer against the tree, you can't cut the branches? That was his question. Why should zihum be mutar and gizum be asur during Shemitah? So he says, if that's his question, zihum ukme ilana v'shari. Zihum just protects the tree so the tree doesn't die, but it doesn't enhance it, which is mutar. However, gizum abruye ilana v'asur. Gizum, cutting the branches, that gives health to the tree, that strengthens the tree, and that's asur. So that's no question. Zihum, which is the stabilizing the tree so it doesn't die, is mutar, but to enhance the tree is asur. So Gemara says, so Eli's question was like this. Ve'ela zihum azihum kakashere. He had a question from zihum. Diktani matli'in umezamin b'shevi'it. We learned in the Braita that you could take out worms and you could also do zihum. Zihum is putting the fertilizer against the tree. What meaning we have a contradiction? Mezamin etanitiot. You're allowed to put the fertilizer against the trees. Bekorchino tam, and you could tie them, you know, to cover them, you know, to protect them from the sun. And from the cold, you could tie the trees up. The kotmim otam, you can cover them in ashes. That was a certain procedure also to protect the trees. They would put the ashes on the roots. The roots that became revealed on the ground, they would cover them with ashes to cover them in order the tree doesn't die. The osim then batim. And you can make them houses. Doesn't mean literally the houses. They built like little mounds of dirt around the tree. They would fit, exactly. They would put like dirt around the tree. They would call it a house. Umashkin otan, and you can water the trees ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. So the Gemara says ad Rosh Hashanah in, until Rosh Hashanah you can do all these things. However, b'shevi'it lo. So that's a contradiction, because he said until Rosh Hashanah you can make zihum. Because it said in the Gevi the Brayta, or meaning, Mizamin et Rizyon, you're allowed to make Zium until Rosh Hashanah. So Mashma, that in the Shemitah itself, it says Zium. So that was Rabban's question. He brought the Brayta, but he said, here it says in the Brayta that he brought Zium is Mutar. But here it says Zium is Asur only until Rosh Hashanah. Says, what's the question? V'dilma k'daram ukma bar hama, damar av ukma bar hama, tre kashkushe avu. There's different two types of kishkush, which means they used to dig furrows around the olive trees. One time it said you're allowed to dig around the olive tree. One time it said you're not allowed. So he said there's two different types. Had abruye idan avas. So the one that's to enhance the tree, that's going to be a sudur shemitah. The had the satumet pideh b'shari. And the other one is just to cover the roots. That's going to be permissible, so it doesn't dry out, so the tree doesn't die. That's permissible. It's mutar to stabilize a tree during Shemitah so it doesn't die, but you can't enhance it. So just like there's two types of keshkushe, hakenameh, trezeh amumeh, there's two types of zihum, the one that just stabilizes the tree so the tree doesn't ruin, that's mutar in the Shemitah. That was what the Braita was talking about. The one is talking about to give the tree health in order to be mashpia, to enhance it. And that's a su. So what's the problem? There's no stira. There's two types of zihum. Zihum that enhances is a problem, and zihum that stabilizes so the tree doesn't ruin is mutar. Says, okay, so that must have been the Alpinist question. We'll explain this question like this. The Rabban's question on the Brayta says, Ve'ena sicha asicha kakashire. Diktari sachin chem in the gizum. Said you're allowed to put oil on the, tree on Shemitah. Ben b'mu'ed b'mishivit. So you can put the oil, whether it's on Shemitah, whether it's on Shemit. Umini, we have a contradiction. Sechin et pagim. It says you're allowed to put the oil on the pagim. These are figs that did not yet fully ripen. In order, I guess you're putting the oil in order to enhance them. Umenake, to get them to become fatter. Umenakebin. And you're able to make a little pierce them. Umefatemin otan. And you fill them with oil. Ad Rosh Hashanah, up until Rosh Hashanah. Ad Rosh Hashanah, but Shigreit lo. So only up until Rosh Hashanah, but not on the Shemitah year itself. And our Braita said you could put the oil on the tree, even on Shemitah. Midame, again. Hacha ukume ilana b'shari. Over here by us, we're talking about you just want to enhance, that you just want to stabilize the tree so the tree doesn't die. That's why you're putting the oil on the tree. Over there, patume pirava. So there you're trying to fatten up the fruit. Fattening up the fruit clearly is going to be asud during the Shemitah. So we still have a problem. What was the question with this Braita? He brought a Braita regarding the Shemitah and the Cholamu. And he said, but nobody could figure it out. He says, what's the problem? The Braita makes sense. So Amarle. So he said like this. Rabba bar Yirmiya, you know what his question was? Sicha de mu'ed, azihum de mu'ed kakashile. His question was from putting oil on chola mu'ed to zihum, to putting fertilizer on the tree. Mechli, hay ukume, bay ukume. Both are just to stabilize the tree so the tree doesn't die. Maishinahai de shari, or maishinahai de asud. So why putting oil is going to be mutar and putting the fertilizer is asud? That was his question. The rule is in chola mu'ed that just so the tree doesn't die, it should be mutar. So just like you allowed me to put oil on the tree, obviously it's some type of tadha, but you allowed it. So for the same reason, you should allow me to put the fertilizer. Hainu the kamar le. That's what he meant about what he said. Let nagar velo bar nagar. The farkina that can explain this, but he didn't understand what the difference. If you're already matiring shemen, you should be matir zium. And if you said Zium, you should also say Shemim. They should go together. That was his question. Again, Sichad de Mu'ed, Azihum de Mu'ed. That was the Sheila that he had. Okay, so again, he brought a Braita, and he couldn't understand the Braita. He didn't understand why you're allowing to put oil, and why you're not allowing to put fertilizer. And don't tell me because the oil is Tidha, because sometimes they don't tell me because the zihum is terha, but sometimes the oil is even more terha, and still you will matir it. So that's why I say we cannot understand it. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Avodat Kochavim Shovdim Otam Bemakel. Let's say in Avodat that they worship it with a stick. What does that mean? They bang it with a stick, let's say. That's the way they worship Avodah Zarah. Shibir makir b'fenei hayav. So if you broke a stick in front of it, so you're going to be hayav. That's the way you serve it. Zarak makir b'fenei patur. If you threw a stick in front of it, patur. So again, let's get this case clear. Now she's going to give us a whole story over here. Let's get the words, but Avodat kochavim, that they serve it with a stick. What do you mean they serve it with a stick? They bang it with a stick. So if you bang it with a stick, for sure that's considered serving it in the normal way. I don't need a Gemara to tell me that. If it's the way you serve it was banging it with a stick, and they banged it with a stick, of course it's going to be asur. But here it says, they serve it by banging it with a stick. And what? Shiber makil b'fanei. And you broke a stick in front of it, you're going to be hayaf. Even though it's not exactly the way they serve it. But if you threw a stick in front, you're going to be patur. What's the difference? Amar le'abaye rava, ma'ishena shiber. What's the reason why shiber? That you're telling me it's hayav. De'avi le'ke'en zibiha. Oh, we have a rule now. Remember we learned that to be hayav on the service of an avodah zarah, it has to be something that the way they served it in the Beit HaMikdash. So breaking a stick is similar to a service that they did in the Beit HaMikdash. They didn't break any sticks in the Beit HaMikdash. So what's that compared to? That's considered to shechita. Because shechita is breaking the animal's head. So they were just like breaking the animal's head as a service, so breaking the stick is a service. So therefore, I can understand why if you broke a stick in front of Avodah Zarah, you're going to be hayab. Because there's a similarity case in the Beit HaMikdash. Look at Rashi now. Shibir, look at the big Rashi. Shibir makil b'fnei hayav. You broke a stick in front of Avodah Zarah hayav. Kedami b'perek dal mitot. Dechol avodah shibifnim, which is any avodah that's done in the Beit HaMikdash. Sha'avad b'em avodah tukhavim. Here's the rule. And a goy did that avodah. Ben darka bekak, ben she'en darka bekak hayav. Oh, that's the rule. Any service that's done in the Beit HaMikdash, whether, now you did that to Avodah Zarah, whether it's the derech or whether it's not the derech, you're going to be hayav. So long as that service was done in the Beit HaMikdash, then even if you served Avodah Zarah not in the normal derech, doesn't matter. Dichtiv zover l'Elohim, elamidi dehazi deshem isu lechol avodat kochavim, v'davar she'enu ke'en panim. Now, if it's a service that's not in the Beit HaMikdash, then we have rules. Darka beka chayav. Then it's got to be only the derech. Denav kalan me'echa yavdu agrim e'ele. Now, en darka beka patur. Now, so therefore, this case over here, what did they do? The way they served it was hitting it with a stick. Hitting it with a stick, okay. So if you went and hit it with a stick, nobody, no, I don't need to give a lot to tell me that. If they hit it with a stick and you hit it with a stick, that's the derech to be hayab. The hadush over is like this. If they hit it with a stick and you came along and broke a stick, now breaking a stick is an avodah that's done inside. What's that avodah that's done inside? That's like breaking the animal's head by shechita. And the rule is, if you serve the Avodah Zarah in the service that's done in the Beit HaMikdash, even if it's not the way to serve the Avodah Zarah, you're going to be hayav. Rashi. Vizu, im lo ayu ovdin ota b'makir, if they didn't serve it with a stick, lo mehayev b'shaman makir. They're lo sheikhav b'fnim. There's no sticks inside the Beit HaMikdash. V'im ayu ovdin ota b'zrikat makir. And if they would serve it by throwing a stick, the way they served Avodah Zarah was shaking the stick in front of it. So if you broke the stick in front of him, why? Because you don't serve it like that. Since breaking a stick is similar to Zivihad Behema, you break the neck of the animal, but throwing a stick in front of the animal, in front of the Avodah Zarah, is nothing because we don't have throwing in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, it's not similar to Avodat Penim. So again, get the case good. The case is talking about over here where they used to shake a stick in front of the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, how? So they used to serve it with a stick. So you come along now and take a stick and break it in front of the Avodah Zarah. It's not exactly the way they serve it, but since you did something that's done in the Beit HaMikdash, so therefore it's going to be higher. But if you threw the stick in front, since we don't have throwing in the Beit HaMikdash, So therefore, you're going to be patur. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abayin Rama, Maishen Hashiber, David the Kenzig." I understand you break the stick. So therefore, it's like shechita. And therefore, if you serve an avodah zarah in any way that's done inside, you're going to be hayamita. However, zarak nami, Abayin the Kenzigika. If you throw the stick, we have zinika tadam. Don't we throw the blood of Bari Mizbeah? You should be hayamita as well. Amale ba'ina zinika mishtaberet. It's got to be a type of zinika like the Beit HaMikdash. The zinika in the Beit HaMikdash, when you threw the blood fell down, dripped. Veleka, over here, it's not so. When you throw the stick in front of the Avodah Zarah, the stick just falls down, the stick is still complete. By shaking the zinika in the Beit HaMikdash, when you threw the blood trickled down. It's got to be a zinika that breaks. When you throw the blood, what ends up happening? The blood separates and trickles down the Mizbeah, as if the blood breaks. But Mashiach and throwing a stick at the Avodah Zarah, nothing broke. Etive, we have a question. Safat la so'ah. If let's say you fed the Avodah Zarah so'ah. So'ah is excrement. Or shenisech lefaneh avit shel meraglayim. Or let's say you poured in front of it a bucket of meraglayim of urine. Hayav, even though it's not the derech. Now, Bishlama avicha meraglayim. I understand that there's a service like that in the Beit HaMikdash. Ika zirika mishtaberet. Just like when you throw the blood trickles down. So when you throw the meraglayim, the meraglayim trickles down. So it's a similar service to have in the Beit HaMikdash. Even though that's not the service of the Avodah Zarah per se, it'll be hayav. Elat tzoah, my zirika mishtaberet ika. But when you throw tzoah is something hard. You throw it at the Avodah Zarah, it just lands on the floor in front of you. You didn't break anything. It's not like zirika. You want to answer? It's talking about moist so'ah that breaks and falls apart when you throw it. Therefore, it's me'en zirika. So therefore, again, let's give this a klal over here. Just to review this last point over here. We learned the Gemara Sanhedrin that again, any avodah zarah that a person does inside the Beit HaMikdash, I'm sorry, any avodah they do in the Beit HaMikdash, for example, shechita, haktara, nisuch, zirika, whether it's the derech to serve the avodah zarah, or whether it's not, you're going to be hayav mita. They learn this from Pesukim. It's asur, any service in the Beit HaMikdash is asur to do to any avodah zarah. However, if it's, let's say, an avodah they don't do inside, so then the rule is like this. If it's the derech for the avodah zarah to serve it that way, hayav. And if it's not, you're going to be patur. Now this case over that we're talking about is what? You're serving the avodah zarah not in its normal way. The way they served this avodah zarah was shaking a stick in front of it. The hadush over here is that if you went and you broke a stick in front of it, since breaking a stick is similar to a service that's done inside, what service shechita? So you're going to be hayav. And then she just pointed out that only because they served it with a stick. But if they didn't serve the avodah with a stick at all, so then we would not consider breaking the stick like shechita. So again, the case where they would shake the stick in front of me, broke the stick. So they went, why not throwing? Throwing yavzirika. No, throwing a stick is not like throwing the blood, because the blood breaks, but the stick didn't break. Ah, we said throwing so'ah is considered like zirika. That's only because we're talking about so'ah lachau. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen.